Well, I'd like to turn your attention this morning to the book of Isaiah chapter 60, which we just read. And I'd like to begin by asking you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say Israel? Israel. You know, you might think, oh, that's another name for Jacob. Oh, that's those people in the Old Testament who had all those miracles. Oh, those were those people with the great kingdom under King David and Solomon. Oh, that was those people who were always disobedient and always in trouble with God. That's those people that are still around. The miracle of the ages. They're still Israel. You might think of Israel today as that small, tiny country there in the Middle East, surrounded by enemies, people who hate them. In fact, if you were able to take a survey of the 6 billion or so people in the world, I wonder how many would have a negative view if you asked them, what do you think of Israel? And many, many would say, I hate it. Well, things are going to change. They're going to change radically. As we just read about it, there in chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah. And so I've entitled this today, Israel's Glorious Future and Ours. That is, it's ours if we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we've received Him for the forgiveness of our sin. We shall be a part in the future of the great kingdom of God, which will be centered in Israel and in Jerusalem. In the future, all the wicked are going to be destroyed. God's going to set up Christ's earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. And then we'll go off into the eternal state. And who knows the glories of it all? Oh, the glory that it shall be. We look forward to it. The kingdom of God is already, but not fully. The kingdom is here with us. Because where two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus Christ is with us. And He's the King, and we're part of the kingdom. But in the future, when Jesus returns to this earth, as the angels spoke and told to His disciples, as He left right here, so He's coming back right here. As you saw Him go, so shall you see Him come back. He's coming. Jesus is coming, and it'll be soon. Well, as we contemplate this chapter, I just wish we could just stay here all the time and just keep going over these scriptures. You know, there's just so much to learn. But we don't have a whole lot of time, and we're going to have communion. So I just want to share four simple points out of this chapter for us today. They're really simple. Here's the first one. God has a future plan to bless Israel. Amen? Amen? God has a future plan to bless Israel. It's going to be a great change from the current status. I want to show you a couple of things here. Look at verse 10, the second half of the verse. You know, God is speaking here. The second half of verse 10, God says, "For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you." Down through the centuries, the Jewish people have suffered much for their sinfulness. Incredibly amounts. Been hated by all those around. Too often even by some Christians. But it's going to change. He's going to show favor and have mercy on them. Or again, look at verses 15 and 16. God says, "Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you, I'm going to transform you into a, make you majestic forever. You're going to be a joy from age to age." Verse 16, "You'll suck the milk of nations, you'll shall nurse at the breasts of kings, and you'll know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Or verse 18, "Violence shall no more be heard in your land." Boy, do they hear it now? Which country today will be firing a rocket at them somewhere? Or sneaking through some underground tunnel and coming up and trying to be a suicide bomber? Violence, devastation, destruction will no more be heard in your land or within your borders. It says, "You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise." God is talking to Israel. He keeps saying, "You, you, you," but he also says, "They," talking about the nations and what they're going to be doing as well. We go back to verse 1, and God begins by telling the people, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." This is what's coming. This is what is going to happen. Oh, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord in Israel is going to attract all the nations to honor Him. And so they are called to rise and shine. It's a call to action. It'll no longer be like chapter 59, 9 and 10. You remember that we had that recently. It says, "Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, and behold, darkness. We hope for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the twilight. Among those in full vigor, we're like dead men." Here in verse 2 it says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord, but the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light." It's going to be a lot different. What a change. What a glorious change. So here's their motivation to rise and shine for the Lord, because their light's coming, the glory of the Lord upon them. As God's glory appeared to Moses at the burning bush, as the glory of the Lord was there with them in the tabernacle, and later in the temple, and it was on Mount Sinai, and as it was when Ezekiel was called and they saw the glory of the Lord, so the brightness will be shining upon Israel. I wonder how many of you have to drive to work at just the wrong time in the morning when the sun is just coming up and there's some buildings there with lots of glass, and the sun is just shining in a certain way, and it just hits that glass, and you were just blinded by it. You ever experienced that? Yeah. Well, that's what it's going to be like. Except even more glorious. It's going to be so glorious. The brightness and the glory of the Lord shining upon His people. By the way, you know, just a little quick word for each one of us. If they're supposed to rise and shine, what did Jesus say to us? "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So the light's already there. The light is within us. We are the light. We have the light of Jesus, and we are to let it shine. We're to be glowing for the Lord as well, even right now. But in verse 2, he says, yeah, there's darkness, but the Lord will rise upon you. Or as it said back in chapter 40, verse 5, in the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Part of God's plan for Israel, but part of that is going to be regathering Israelites, Jewish people from all over the world. Look what it says. Look at verse 4 and 5. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons, they shall come from afar. Your daughters, they're going to be carried on the hip. That means even while they're young. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. This is going to happen to Israel. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. Or look down at verse 8 and 9. Raise the question here. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? It pictures a multitude coming. There's just so many. Some have thought, who are these that fly like a cloud? Like someone's up there on the mountain. He's looking down out at the Mediterranean Sea, and there's all these ships coming and their sailboats, and it's white everywhere, and it looks like everybody's coming. This is like the fullness of clouds coming. Or like doves flying together up to the window. I mean, this is going to be a multitude of people gathering into Israel. Or look at verse 13, the end of verse 13. It's going to be a place that I'm going to make the place of my feet glorious, God says. Or verse 14, they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. What a change. Verse 15, whereas you've been forsaken and hated, no one passing through, I'm going to make you, I'm going to transform you into something majestic. You're going to have a joy from age to age. And you will know me. You will be transformed. Verse 18, the end of verse 18, you shall call your walls salvation, your gates praise. Verse 21, your people shall all be righteous, they shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. And the least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. God says it's going to change. Wow, what a mighty plan God has in the future for Israel. It's coming. It's coming. I wonder if someone tried to share this with Israeli people over in Israel right now, would they believe it? Do you know what's coming in the future for you guys? Here's what's coming. The Lord said it right in your scripture. This is what's going to happen. So that's the first thought. God has a future plan to bless Israel. Here's the second thought. God is going to use all the other nations of the world to bless Israel. Wow. What a difference from the Security Council today and the United Nations today, huh? Let's take a vote in the United Nations. All in favor of Israel, say aye. In that day, it's going to be, everybody says, aye. Why? Because God changes things. Whoa. Are you sure that's going to happen? Well, look at verse 12 for a moment. What if a nation tried not to do that? Here's a warning. God says, for the nation and the kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. Oh, you want to try and reject what God's doing? This is what will happen to you. You will be removed from the table of nations. You will no longer be there. That's it. You're done for. You will either come and worship the God of Israel and bless Israel, or you're done. That's it. So they're going to come, and they're going to worship God, and they're going to bless Israel. Let's just notice a few of these. Verse 3, nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. Here they come. Verses 5 through 7. The abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. What? You say, all these nations have all this great wealth. What are they going to do with it? They're all going to bring it to Israel. Because that's where God is. God's going to demand it of them. He gives a little picture of it, verses 6 and 7, looking back on how wealth was seen in those days. It says, a multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. They'll come worshiping, praising the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance at my altar, because I will beautify my beautiful house. Look at verse 10. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. Or verse 11. Your gates shall be open continually, day and night they shall not be shut. There's no security problem now, is there? That people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. What a picture. Have you ever seen the opening ceremonies at the Olympic Games? And they have the nations all marching into the stadium, starting with the country that starts with the letter A, all the way to the country that starts with the letter Z, and they just keep coming in, wave after wave after wave after wave after wave, all the nations. Well, not even all the nations are represented then, but here, this is what it's going to be. They're going to just keep coming from all over the world, coming to worship the God of Israel and to bless the nation of Israel. Look again at verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Now, I don't know if that means that they're going to cut down the trees and make use of the wood to beautify the place of the sanctuary, or if they're going to bring transplanted trees and plant there. Could be either one. But either way, they're going to beautify the place of God's sanctuary there. Then look at verse 14. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you. Wow. Who's afflicting Israel today? Syrians, Egyptians, Lebanese, Jordanese, Iraqis, Iranians, who else? Their children are going to come and bow down and worship the Lord. It says, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. And they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. What a change! You think God's got big plans for the future, right? There it is. There's a lot of exciting things coming. Don't get too caught up in today's world. You can get really discouraged getting caught up in today's world. It's not going to stay that way. It may get worse for a while, but it's not going to stay that way, and it's not the way it's going to end. Sort of like, you know, when you're caught up in reading a book. And you just get caught up in it, and you're wondering, what's going to happen to these people? It doesn't look good. And you sneak a peek to the end. I got to read the last chapter. I got to find out. I can't stand this. This is the last chapter. This is what's coming, okay? It's not the way it looks right now. It's the way it's going to stay. Our God is still in control, and He's going to change things. He's working out His purposes right now, bringing still judgment upon His people because they still haven't learned completely. But the time is going to change. Foreigners are going to come help and glorify Zion. Instead of coming to attack and conquer as in the past, they're going to come to build. Israel's days of trouble will be over. Look at verse 17. They will bring absolutely the best instead of bronze, they're going to bring gold. Should we bring iron? No, you're going to bring silver. How about wood? No, instead of the wood, you'll bring bronze. And instead of the stones, you'll bring iron. And I'm going to make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. No more violence, devastation, or destruction. So God's got a plan for Israel. He's going to make use of all the other nations to bless Israel. The third thing we want to look at is just simply God is going to be known by Israel. And they're going to worship Him. Maybe that's the most exciting thing of all, right? God is going to be known in Israel, and they will worship Him. I mean, that's what it's talking about as we begin here. Verses 1 and 2, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yeah, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Let's drop down to verse 16. At the end it says, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Who is it? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to know the Lord. What a great day. It's Romans 11. That's the end of Romans 11 there. All Israel shall be saved. All that's left in Israel at that last time are going to turn to the Lord and be saved. They will look upon Him whom they have pierced. They will see Him and they will believe. And everything will be changed. They will know that He is the Lord. They will know that He is Yahweh. That He is the Creator God. He is the God of the covenant. He is God Almighty Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They will know Him as Savior. And then that what Jesus' name means? You shall call His name Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins. He is our Savior. It speaks of God our Savior. The Holy Spirit is our Savior. The triune Godhead always works together on everything. The Father planned our salvation from all eternity. The Lord came and died for our sins. And the Holy Spirit works us in us in the work of regeneration. Praise God! For this wonderful plan of God that He works out in His people's lives. And they will know Him as their Redeemer. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Our kinsman Redeemer, the one likened to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, truly God, and truly man at the same time. Truly man so He could pay the penalty for our sin. Truly God so it was worth something. Infinite value. How we worship our Lord. And He's known as the Mighty One of Jacob. Verses 19 and 20 seem to sneak off into the eternal state a little bit because it talks about no more sun or moon. But the Lord being your light. The Lord being your everlasting light. And He will be your glory. And it repeats it. He will be your everlasting light. Again, verse 20. And then it says, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Of all the peoples in the world, the nation of Israel has gone through much mourning. Say, well, what causes mourning? Well, sickness can cause mourning. Death can cause mourning. Oppression. Persecution. First thing that might come to your mind is the Holocaust. How many have they had of those? It didn't just start in the 1940s. It's been going on for generations. It'll be all over. And your days of mourning shall be ended. And you will know the Lord. One last point before we gather around the table. Look at the last phrase in verse 22. God says first, I am the Lord. And then He says, in its time, I will hasten it. It's not time yet. But there's a time coming. And when the time comes, it will happen very quickly. Get the picture? Someone said, Jesus Christ is like a bridegroom looking forward to the wedding day. Okay? You remember that, man? Or even you ladies, remember waiting for that wedding day? You're looking forward to it? And the day came. You didn't say, oh, let's wait another couple days. Nah. When the day comes and the Father says, Son, it's today. Boom! He's out of heaven. There he comes. Okay? The heavens will rip open and the Lord will descend with his people. It's going to be so exciting. It is coming. And he says, I'm not going to delay it. When the time comes, I'm going to hasten it. Now, Hebrews 10:37 says, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. A little while. This is a little while, folks. What we're going through for the last 2,000 years is a little while, okay? Especially when you compare it to eternity, what we're going to spend with the Lord forever. It's a little while. But then it says, and the coming one will come and will not delay. Someone explained the Greek there as little as may be. Though the time in between is long in itself, yet when it's over and it's time for him to come, there will be no delay. Not a moment longer. It's an expression of desire. He will not tarry. When the Father says it is the time, the Son will come. Wow. You going to be a part of this? You going to be a part of this? Are you Jewish? There may be someone here who's Jewish. Okay, I hope you'll be a part of that. Are you a Gentile? Will you be a part of that? The question is, do we know the Lord? If we know the Lord, we'll be a part of it. Is he our Lord and Savior? Scripture said, you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. In John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father has given to me will come to me. In eternity past, the Father gave a gift to the Son, a group of people that would be his church. And he says, they will all come to me. And then he adds, and whoever comes, I will not cast out. And so we are to come to Christ by faith and receive him. Receive him for the forgiveness of our sin and to receive him for our eternal salvation. And then we'll be there, part of that kingdom that'll last on earth here for 1,000 years before there's a new heaven and a new earth that'll last then for eternity. Simple truth here. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart one believes and is justified, and with a mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on the Lord's name to be saved? You trusting in him to be your Savior and Lord? That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it'll be mean to be a part of his eternal kingdom. Come to Christ today if you've never come. He won't turn you away. You'll be a part of his people. And what a glorious future is ahead of us. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Father, sometimes we can tend to get discouraged being in this world. We see all that's going on and all the evil, all the sinfulness, how much people hate you, how much people hate your people. It's always good to be reminded of what's coming. That Jesus is coming. And he's our great and wonderful Savior and Lord. So we look for the day. We pray for the day. We pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Lord, help us. Until that day, to be faithful. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.